To all y'all out there, the phone lines are open. The Blue Jays talk is upon us. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell and long distance. 1-888-666-0590. Everybody loves a good redemption story. Drew Hutchison with a strong start for the Blue Jays, not supported by the offense as he leaves down 2-1. The Jays come back with a couple of runs in the seventh inning to take the lead. Steve Delabar comes out to get Hutchison out of trouble in the sixth. Sergio Santos comes out to work a nervous ninth, but a successful ninth. And he gets the save. Delabar gets the win after the two of them combined to issue five walks and were the real matchsticks behind that horrible, horrible finish last night in Minnesota. The Blue Jays beat the Cleveland Indians 3-2. Lots of Blue Jays roster notes for you. The Jays making four roster moves up and down after the game. We all knew that Jose Reyes was going to be activated off the disabled list. Reyes is back, but Adam Lind goes to the disabled list. Lind tweaking his back in Baltimore. Wasn't able to play in Minnesota. Threw before the game today. Wasn't able to go. And so he's going on the disabled list. He's going to miss another week and change. The Blue Jays have brought up Juan Francisco from AAA Buffalo. Francisco with an OPS over 1,000 for the Buffalo Bisons in just 50 plate appearances in the early part of this year. Former Milwaukee Brewer and Atlanta Brave third baseman. He'll come here and fill in as the Blue Jays DH. I'm a little surprised by that one. Dan Johnson would have been the choice for me. Munenori Kawasaki has been sent back down to AAA Buffalo. Also a little bit of a surprise. Ryan Goins gets to stay. He will share second base or continue to share second base with Jonathan Diaz in order to make room for Francisco on the 40-man roster. Meiser Asturias has been moved to the 60-day disabled list, which is, again, no surprise at all. Asturias is going to be out for most of the rest of the season. But Jose Reyes is back. He will be in the leadoff spot tomorrow afternoon. Munenori Kawasaki goes back down to Buffalo, and Adam Lind to the DL for Juan Francisco. 3-2 Blue Jays beat the Cleveland Indians in the opener of the weekend set, and let's get to the Blue Jays talk. We begin with Randy in Ajax, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome to the program, Randy. You're the leadoff man.
Glad to be here, Mike. Great win tonight. Huge character win for the Jays. Just wanted to talk to you a little bit about the roster moves. You said that Dan Johnson would have been your pick. Yep. Why do you think that?
Well, because I think that Dan Johnson is an accomplished major league hitter. He's a guy who's got power. He's a guy who will take a walk. He's a guy who's gotten big hits in big situations, and I've always really liked him. I have a soft spot for the three true outcome guys, the guys who hit home runs or walk or strike out, and I've really liked Dan Johnson for a long time.
What type of a leash do you think Moises Sierra is on after tonight?
I don't think tonight makes a difference as far as Moises Sierra's leash is concerned. I mean, well, Sierra's a talented player who's out of options, so that's, you know, you have to decide whether you want to keep the talent and try to continue to develop it or whether you want to give up on it.
I mean, he's looked lost up here for most of the season, hasn't he?
He has not looked good, but it's very tough to look good when you're only getting a couple of at-bats every few days.
Fair enough. I think that makes sense. One last question for you, Mike.
Yeah.
What do you think is the, it's early on yet, but what's the most positive thing you've seen out of the Jays so far?
I've been really impressed up and down with really everything except for that eighth inning last night. But I guess the thing that stuck out the most relative to, you know, the difference making between this year and last year is the defense and how strong the Blue Jays defense has been this year and how much it's helped the pitching staff and how much it's helped in general. And it's something that really, really let the Jays down last year, especially in the first month of the season.
Great, Mike. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you, Randy. Appreciate the call. 3-2, the Blue Jays beat the Cleveland Indians. Mike is in Bowmanville. Mike, you're on the Blue Jays talk.
Thanks for taking my call, as always. I want to touch on Santos, and I have one other question for you afterwards.
Sure.
I think because we won the game tonight. I think maybe we're taking this redemption thing a little too far. I mean, if you really look at the inning, Chisenhall, I believe it was, and Brantley hammered two of his pitches, and he did walk a couple of batters. So I don't really know if redemption is the right word. Yeah, he did strike out a couple as well, but
Those don't count because those don't fit your argument, right?
No. I'm mentioning them. It's not like I'm holding back.
He had a horrible, horrible game last night. Perhaps one of the worst possible games you can have. He faced three guys. He walked them all. He threw three wild pitches that scored runs. And then he came out tonight and he pitched a shutout inning. That's all. I mean, it doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to be hung in the Smithsonian. It didn't have to be a 1-2-3 inning or anything like that. He threw a shutout inning. He got the save. More than enough.
Absolutely. I don't know if you can really answer this question or not. And this has been going on for years. I don't hear it with any other teams when the Blue Jays are playing other opponents. But Jerry never mentions the name Indians or Tribe at all. He always says Cleveland. And anytime they play any other team, he mentions the team name. Is this just a personal thing, or do you know anything about that?
That is a question for Jerry and not a question for me. I do not know. So, I don't know. Blue Jays beat the Indians 3-2, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. Jerry comes on our flagship, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, every once in a while for the hour of Howarth on the Jeff Blair Show. And you want to call up then and ask him, he's the guy to ask. Tony is in London. Hello, Tony.
Hello, Mike. Speaking of Cleveland, I was listening to the pregame show in Cleveland, which is an hour long, as opposed to what 590 presents, like 5 minutes. Anyways, I was glad to see Munenori Kawasaki have a great game because, they had an interview with Kawasaki on the flagship radio station of the Tribe during the pregame. And,
really?
I don't know. It wasn't really malicious, but it could be deemed politically incorrect because they were having a little bit of fun with them because he didn't understand the questions, quite frankly. And it was sort of prolonged. I mean, they could have cut it short or they could have handled it a little bit better. But I was glad to see Kawasaki come up with the big RBI hit to tie up the game. And he also had a pretty good game with a sacrifice and a walk in a key situation late in the game in the ninth. But I was looking forward to seeing Munenori have that great game, and that right afterwards he gets optioned out. And that was a surprise move too, I thought.
Yeah, I'm surprised too. I thought he was going to stay, not because of any, you know, quote unquote Kawasaki magic or anything like that. I thought that Ryan Goins was going to go down. Goins has had a really, really hard time. He did an infield single today. He drew a walk, scored a run that turned out to be the go-ahead run. He actually hit a couple of balls awfully hard yesterday and the day before, and a couple of hits on Tuesday. Yesterday in both ends of the doubleheader. So maybe that's what they're looking for. Maybe they're looking for improvement, as minimal as it might be. And that's why Ryan Goins gets to stay. I had thought, you know, he's struggling. He's not hitting. He's not looked good. Let him go down in Buffalo and start getting 4 or 5 at-bats at night and start to hit like he can and then bring him back up here. But the Blue Jays have decided to keep him up here. And the truth of the matter is he is the reason that he's here hasn't changed. The reason he's here is for the glove. Jonathan Diaz is here for the glove as well. So now you have two unbelievable defensive second basemen. You have Jose Reyes back at the top of the lineup. So maybe that leads them to think that they can go for glove over bat. Not that Munenori Kawasaki has this, you know, wonderful bat that's so much better than Goins that that there's, you know, no consideration for keeping the glove. I think if there was a good offensive option at second base, then they probably would have gone that way. Since there isn't, they stick with the decision they made at the beginning of the season, which was to have Ryan go into second base. And again, I'm a little surprised because I thought they would have liked to have given him that opportunity to just kind of start hitting in a lower pressure situation. But he will stay. Kawasaki goes back down to AAA as Jose Reyes is activated off the disabled list for tomorrow afternoon's game. Also, Adam Lind goes on the disabled list with his bad back. And Juan Francisco, the former Brewer and Brave of the Blue Jays, picked up right near the end of spring training, maybe even after the end of spring training, gets the call up, and he's going to pick up the DHing duties. I'm assuming for the Blue Jays while Adam Lind is gone. Back to the phones we go. It is the Blue Jays talk right up to the top of the hour. Harris in Toronto, listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Harris, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Thanks, Mike. That outcome should make your night easier coming off the DL. Two questions for you. First, I was wondering if Reyes should start at DH tomorrow, especially with Lind out. He pulled up on some balls last year, and I think this way he gets a chance to ease into it without having a chance of recurring the injury. And I think the reason Burley has been pitching better is the confidence in the defense around him.
I think Burley is confident in Reyes defensively, even though Reyes is not as good a shortstop as Jonathan Diaz, but not too many people are. And, you know, how did Reyes get hurt? He got hurt coming out of the batter's box. That's not going to change whether he's a shortstop or whether he's DHing. If he's active, he's healthy. If he's healthy, he should be playing shortstop.
Secondly, if the Jays were going to send Kawasaki down, well, I guess they did it, but prior to tomorrow's game, would it not have made more sense to keep Ghost around?
Well, for what? Just for today?
Just for some speed off the bench, help maybe help in the outfield. I just thought he had such a great game last night that he deserved another day with the ball club.
Well, you know what? That's wonderful. You're right. He had the three walks. He is an outstanding defensive center fielder. But Kawasaki started at second base today. So, you know, they kind of wanted to have him there. And Ghost wouldn't have started today, which is why they kept him and why go. I mean, you're talking about one game, really, in the grand scheme of things. It's one game.
All right. Thanks very much, Mike.
Okay. Thank you. As Blue Jays fans are becoming aware, if they weren't already, with Munenori Kawasaki having been sent down today, there really is no place for sentiment when you're looking at a roster and trying to put together your best possible 25. Sure, Ghost deserved to stick around. But he was there for the game. He was there to be the 26th guy, and Kawasaki was going to start today against Justin Masterson, and it worked out. The Blue Jays won the game, and now they're both back down in Buffalo. Dean in Mississauga. Dean, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Thank you. Hey, Mike, how are you doing?
Doing all right, thank you.
How do you feel about Gibby going back to Sergio today after yesterday's rough outing?
I think that's what you do. Isn't that what you do?
It's been kind of frustrating watching him pitch. No, like he's been struggling with his control, obviously. But even though Jansen is out, aren't there other viable options?
Well, I mean, when you pick a guy and you make him your closer, and you make him your closer because he's got dominating and overwhelming stuff, and then he goes out and he's great, you know, and you continue to give him the ball, and then he messes up once.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's once. You know, I think there's this perception here that Sergio Santos has been some sort of crazy train wreck as a closer, and it's just not the case. I mean, he was awful last night. Awful. There's no, you know, there's no two ways about it. He was terrible. But going into last night, he'd thrown 5 1/3 innings, and he'd given up 5 hits and 3 walks and 11 strikeouts. So he'd been pretty outstanding. And again, you don't pull the rug out from under a guy after one bad outing, no matter how bad it is. It's just one bad outing.
How do you feel about Gibby going out and talking to him instead of pitching coach Pete Walker, though? Is that some type of message, you think, to help his confidence?
I don't know whether it was to help his confidence or not, whether it was to just get him to smile, whether it was to kind of remind him of the situation and say, look, this is your ball game. I got nobody up in the bullpen, and I'm not coming to get you. Whatever it was, it works. And it doesn't happen very often. You don't see John Gibbons go out and have that chat, not to remove a pitcher. But as long as he, you know, kind of keeps it in the quiver and doesn't do it all that often, then it'll be that much more effective. And I like it, personally.
Thank you so much for your time.
All right. Thank you for the call. Yeah, there were a bunch of people on the Twitter saying, don't go back to Santos, don't go back to Santos. And really, I mean, I understand that last night was horrifying. And tonight wasn't terrific. But you don't, I mean, it's not how it works. You don't pull the rug out from under somebody after one bad night. Rick is in Mississauga listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, Rick.
Hello there, Mike. Great show.
Thank you.
I was just wondering why Casey Jansen's coming back, because I don't know how much more of my heart can take in the roller coaster ride with Santos. He's great, then he's scary, then he's great, you know?
Yeah, well, most pitchers are like that, though. That's the thing.
I think that's it. Like, just stressing last night, there's been a couple of games where he's like, he's 5-6 pitchers, and he'll strike 3 out, a couple of hits, you know, and put a couple of guys on. He's just he's just a little bit scary for me.
Well, I think you've gotten spoiled by Casey Jansen and you know, Blue Jays fans. You know, were spoiled earlier. The old time fans who remember Dwayne Ward and Tom Henke, you got spoiled there. Sergio Santos has been really, really good far more often than not this year. He's had.
Well, when he's good, he's great.
Right. You know? But that's the way most closers are.
When's Jansen back? I didn't hear.
We don't know. We don't know. Okay. He's going to. He had a setback. His back, and it's sort of an abdominal lower back thing, and we thought he was going to be able to make a couple of rehab outings this weekend and early next week, and then come back and join the club. But he had a setback earlier this week, so he's just going to start throwing again on Tuesday when the Blue Jays come back from this road trip. So it's going to be a while. It's probably going to be at least another couple of weeks before Casey Jansen comes back.
Well, it sounds like I'll have to try some yoga or something to keep myself calm and stress levels down. But thanks for the great show, Mike, and keep it up.
All right, best of luck to you keeping the stress level down. At MattHelm68 asks on Twitter, what does selecting the contract of Kawasaki or Francisco mean? We used to see purchase the contract. Now they call it selecting the contract. And what it means is this is a guy who was not on the Blue Jays 40-man roster. And in order to get on the 25-man roster, the active roster, you have to be placed on the 40-man roster. So you have to select the player's minor league contract to the 40-man roster. And then you can call him up to the big leagues. Now, you have to have room on the 40-man in order to make that happen, which is why the other day Marcus Walden was designated for assignment and eventually lost on waivers, and why today Meiser Asturias was placed on the 60-day disabled list in order to make room for Juan Francisco on the 40-man roster. Francisco is up for Adam Lind, who goes on the DL with a bad back, and Jose Reyes back tomorrow, Munenori Kawasaki, headed back down to AAA Buffalo. Steve is in the GUE. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk, Steve.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Good. We love our Guelphers. Go ahead.
Oh, good. Just want to touch. You were talking to the guy earlier. Did you say that Diaz was a better fielder than Reyes?
Oh, yeah.
You think so, eh?
Oh, without question.
Oh,
yeah, I think there's.
I disagree.
Well, you need to watch Jose Reyes a little more closely. Jose Reyes is a fine defensive shortstop. But Jose Reyes is really no better than that. And Jonathan Diaz is an elite-level defender at shortstop.
Okay. We can agree to disagree, but I think he's much better. I just want to touch on another subject. I do feel that Kawasaki should be the one staying up over Diaz. I know they're keeping him up. They sent him down because they'd like a right-handed bat and a left-handed bat option at second. And like you said, they're going for the gloves. But I do feel personally, I just think with the offense, I think it helps the Jays a lot more with Kawasaki. Just another question I have
but
for you.
But Kawasaki's not a good offensive player.
I'm sorry?
Kawasaki's not a good offensive player.
He's doing fine for the couple games, in my opinion, that he's been up here.
Okay. Well, whether he's doing fine for a couple of games or not, I mean, he's got a track record of not being a good offensive player.
Okay, well, I just feel at the time that Diaz isn't hitting the ball well either.
Oh, no, Diaz isn't a good offensive player either. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. And that's why I said that if there was a clear, strong offensive option at second base, I think the Blue Jays would take that. But whether it's Diaz, Goins, or Kawasaki, none of them are good hitters.
Yeah, and could I ask you one more question, Mike?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, just with Santos, I know he's had his last night with a little bit of a rough go, but tonight it was good to see him get the save. But just on if he's able to pick up more of a consistency, like I felt before last night, he's been doing a great job. Do you think by the time Jansen comes back, he'll be taking over the closer role? And basically it's until Santos loses it, Jansen will be back in that role? Or do you think Jansen's going to go right back into closing games?
No, I think Jansen will go right back into closing games. I think you don't lose your job because you're hurt. And Jansen has been a spectacular closer for this team for going on a couple of years now. So, no matter how Santos pitches, I think Jansen gets that job back.
And last but not least, I think the Jays are going to get bit in the ass due to the fact that Gomes has been traded. That's been traded for Esmel Rogers. We got nothing and they got everything.
Yeah, I think it's really, 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 really early in Yan Gomes' career to make any determinations on how that's going to work out. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem as though it's worked out for the Blue Jays side of it. One more call, Mark in Toronto. Mark, you're on the Blue Jays talk.
Hi, Mike. I love your show. I just wanted to ask about Casey Jansen, but you already answered that. I couldn't agree with you more about the Jays' defense. It's what a difference from this year to last year so far. I think that's going to make a big difference in the standings over the year. I just wanted to ask, do you think the Jays will shop around and try to pick up a hitting second baseman that can swing the bat?
Well, those are really, really tough to find. I mean, Stephen Drew is out there, but he's asking for a crazy amount of money that really, I mean, very obviously no team in the major leagues thinks he's worth. But offensive second basemen are tough to find. They've got an offensive shortstop, which is a point in their favor. They've got an offensive center fielder, which is a point in their favor as well. So they can afford to go with the glove, but they're always looking to improve and they're always looking to see where they can make the team better. But I don't think there's anything really in the offing. Thanks for the call. Thanks for all the calls. Apologies to those of you to whom we could not get. We are out of time, but we will do it again tomorrow. The Blue Jays beat the Cleveland Indians 3-2. They are 4-3 on the road trip, 9-8 on the season so far. Steve Delabar, the win. Sergio Santos, the save. Both very lovely after what happened in Minnesota last night. It's a Honda postgame show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Back here at Baseball Control in Toronto, the Blue Jays, 3-2 winners of the Cleveland Indians. Steve Delabar, the win in relief. Sergio Santos, the save. Edwin Encarnacion drives in the winning run with a bases-loaded single in the seventh inning. It's only the second time this season that the Blue Jays have won a game in which they trailed at any point. Check some scores for you. The Tampa Bay Rays lead the New York Yankees 11-5. That game is in the bottom of the eighth. Earlier, Baltimore beat Boston 8-4. Texas over the White Sox 12-0. The Atlanta Braves beat the Mets 6-0. Aaron Harang, 7 no-hit innings, did not answer the bell for the eighth, having thrown 121 pitches. He walked 6 guys in those 7 innings, but didn't give up a hit. Luis Avilan did in the eighth inning. David Wright, the only hit of the game. Atlanta beats the Mets 6-0. Down on the farm, the Lansing Lugnuts were 5-0 winners over the Beloit Snappers. Kendall Graveman, who was a Blue Jays' eighth-round pick in the 2013 draft, took a no-hitter into the ninth inning, winds up going 8 1/3 innings of one-hit shutout. Walks one against seven strikeouts. So a terrific outing for the 23-year-old down in Lansing. Blue Jays and Indians continue this series tomorrow. We're on the air at 12:30 p.m. Eastern for the pregame show. You'll hear from Mark Burley with Joe Siddall in that game. 105 first pitch. Burley takes the mound against Corey Kluber. You've been listening to Home Hardware, Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyright broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddall, Tom Young, Alex Machinsky, and Igor Enriquez, I'm Mike Wilner. Bye-bye from Toronto.